The Big Band Vocalists on a one-night stand with the Big Band. Good evening, everyone. This is Arnold Dane. Vocalists certainly were an integral part of the big bands, often drawing equal billing with the leader and being treated with great deference, with star status, if you will. And yet on this program, we've been concerned with the music made by the big band musical members instead. So tonight we decided as a special treat for all of you that we'd speak with the man who is best qualified of them all to talk over the big band vocalists. The noted author, critic, and big band authority, George T. Simon. The subject, the big band vocalists. On a one-night stand with the big bands, brought to you by Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. February is Spirit of America sale month. Get your new Chevy now while the savings are red hot. And by the Electronic Jungle, where you get the best for less and service, too. Join in the Spirit of America sale all this month at Russo Chevrolet in Windsor Locks. See the special edition Spirit of America Impalas, Bel Airs, Chevelles, and Monte Carlos on display now. If you have a family or do a lot of driving, you want a car you can depend on, a car that's comfortable, roomy, and styled for safety. That's what you'll find at Russo. See them this month for savings on the great American value, the beautiful Impala, or the Bel Air, the lowest-priced way to enjoy Chevy's full-sized quality. Then there's the Monte Carlo, the car with elegance built in, not added on. Or the 74 Chevelle, the mid-sized Chevrolet that offers full-sized safety and comfort. At Russo this month, you'll not only save on the price tag, but if you mention WTIC, you'll get a free AM-FM radio installation included. Now that's the Spirit of America, all this month at Russo Chevrolet. Just take the Bradley exit off I-94, then your first exit to Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. Well, this is practically an annual treat for us, visiting the comfortable Stamford home of the famous author and critic and the big band authority. And let me capitalize all three letters of the, T-H-E, the big band authority, George T. Simon. George, it's always a pleasure to visit you.
Wonderful, Arnold, and delightful to have you and your gang down here again. It makes this room seem a little brighter.
Well, isn't that nice of you? And we're going to brighten it up with some pretty good music, too. We're going to be rating the George T. Simon collection of big band recordings. You have a pretty good collection.
I've managed to hold on to the ones I like. I gave a lot of them, about two-thirds of my collection, maybe three-quarters even, to the library at Lincoln Center in New York, because we just didn't have room, and they were really deteriorating in the cellar. But I've kept those that I really liked, and I've dug some of them up, and I hope that you're going to get a kick out of them.
On this edition of A One-Night Stand with the Big Bands, we're going to be talking about the big band vocalists. And how did big band vocalists evolve? Did they start off right with the birth of the big band era? Were there vocalists at the beginning, or were they mainly groups which made instrumental music at the start?
Well, if you start the big band era in 1935, which I like to do, which I did in the big bands book, because I think that's when Benny Goodman started things going, they had vocalists, because even before then, Paul Wypen had Bing Crosby and Mildred Bailey and Jack Fulton, and then Hal Kemp, of course, had Skinny Ennis. Ozzie Nelson had Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard.
That's right.
The Casaloma Band had Kenny Sargent and Pee Wee Hunt. So there were vocalists right along with all the bands at that time. Matter of fact, when Benny came along, I think the vocalists were a little bit de-emphasized at first, because Benny sort of used singers just as an extra added chorus. I remember Helen Forrest told me that the difference between singing with Benny Goodman and Artie Shaw as opposed to singing with Harry James, that Benny and Artie Shaw both used the girl singers just as an extra chorus, sort of like another musician, whereas Harry James would build the arrangements around the singers.
Now that you've mentioned Benny Goodman, George, why don't we start there? You have a recording from your file of Goody Goody.
Well, that was Helen Ward, a wonderful gal from New York City who sang with the band. She was up here recently, by the way, right in the same room.
Is
she and her
right?
husband, Bill Savory, who was the man who put together that fabulous Benny Goodman Off the Air series. He was a guy who collected all those records and put them together himself. And Helen is still singing. She sang recently at the Gene Krupa Memorial down in New York City. And a very, as you notice, a very swinging gal and one of the sexiest looking gals I've ever seen in my life.
Goody goody, Helen Ward, Benny Goodman, and the orchestra. And now we're going to turn to someone who passed away 10 years ago, a few weeks ago, George. And believe it's been 10 years since the passing of Big T.
When you mentioned that, I couldn't believe it, because the last time I saw him, it seems like only about 3 or 4 years ago. A warm, wonderful man this guy was.
That came through in his voice, didn't it?
Yeah.
And his trombone playing.
And his I think he was probably one of my three or four favorite all-time musicians. Sometimes when I listen to him, I think he was my all-time favorite. It's hard to decide who your favorite is. You vary from time to time. You get emotional responses and so forth. But Teagarden could do just about anything on the horn, and he played with such tremendous emotion. And as you said, Arnold, it showed in his singing also.
How about this particular recording? Why did you select That's What I Like About You?
Because this is not only has Jack Teagarden, but it also has another one of my favorite singers, Fats Waller, on the thing. And this was a crazy session they put together one time when they got into a studio, and I think they just took a stock arrangement and started fooling around with it. And then on this record, as you'll hear, Teagarden sings, and Waller, with his ridiculous, wonderful sense of humor, mimics a nagging wife in the background. And there's a crazy duet on this thing. And this is the sort of humor that jazz gives out with, which you get so seldom in today's recordings. It's a free-for-all, spontaneous type of thing. The music itself, the band is sort of sloppy, but Teagarden, of course, plays fantastic trombone, and Waller plays some piano on the thing. And it's just a great all-around record.
While we're on the subject of Waller, can you describe what stride piano is? We get that question asked periodically.
Yeah, stride piano is a piano whereby the left hand is actually striding. It goes back in octaves from the lower to the back. He's playing that while the right hand is playing whatever the guy wants to play. It's a type of piano playing that evolved with James P. Johnson, and Fats picked it up. And it's a fantastic, wonderful, rollicking, happy type of piano playing style.
Now let's listen to this combination of Fats Waller and Jack Teagarden, and That's What I Like About You. ¶¶
can't cook.
Who can't cook?
You're big and fat.
Don't talk about my velocity now.
You never got no dough.
It's supposed to have none.
You drank too much gin?
Always drink my gin.
And you're tired?
Always tired.
You don't do anything I like.
Well, you know I like everything that you like.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you like the skies of blue?
Honey, you know I love the skies of blue. And another thing, I love everything that you love.
That's what I like about you. Looks like you can read my mind.
Honey, looks like your face done signed. And nothing, I love everything that you like.
That's what I like about you. Do you like a breakfast table?
Honey, check your mouth. That's him right there.
Double check on that breakfast table.
With an extra chair for baby, huh? Well, we're getting somewhere. Let's get together.
Heaven shines above.
Listen to me.
Looks like the town above.
Let me, hot mama. You know I love everything that you like.
That's what I like about you.
Are you looking for an amplifier with outstanding quality matched up with two beautifully designed speakers and matching turntable? The Electronic Jungle, with seven stores to serve you in the Connecticut area, has just this combination. It's the SuperScope A225 stereo amplifier with two SuperScope S26 speakers and a Garrard automatic turntable. SuperScope, the same company that brought you the world-famous Marantz, now brings you these great products. And this whole stereo system can be yours today at a price to meet your budget. Why not stop in at the Electronic Jungle and let their friendly, courteous staff show you this great buy? The Electronic Jungle has stores in Waterbury, Avon, West Hartford, East Hartford, Rocky Hill, and two locations in Manchester. The Electronic Jungle, where you get the best for less and service, too. And at the Electronic Jungle, every customer is very special. It's always good news to us when George Simon is coming out with a new book. We have enjoyed so thoroughly and used so frequently as a source of reference the big bands and that huge work, Simon Says.
The Hernia Tome, right?
it's a fantastic work. How many words in that book? If you got paid by the word, you're rich.
Yeah. A lot of that, of course, was stuff I wrote a long time ago, and somebody gave me an A for courage and re-releasing some of the things.
Oh, we enjoy it thoroughly. But I must say, I'm looking forward with great anticipation to your book on Glenn Miller. What's the title of this one going to be?
Glenn Miller and His Orchestra. It's very interesting because I thought I knew Glenn very well before I started this book. You know, I used to, as you may know, I helped him organize the original band and played some bad drums in it. And then stayed friendly with him throughout his career and was even in the Army band in nearby New Haven. But after I had interviewed about 45 or 50 people, I realized I never really knew the man as well as I thought I knew him, because he's a very, very complex man. He was constantly trying to make compromises between his music and his commercial sense, and his commercial sense was fantastic. In the book, for example, there's an illustration. We got hold of his report card when he was in college. his highest mark was in algebra, which I think was an 86 or something like that. And in music, harmony, he got a 50.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's very, because his mind was strictly the mind of an administrator, of an executive. He was a good musician, a good arranger, but he thought more clearly at things, I think, as an executive. And that's why he was such a commercial success. Excellent businessman. My God, he was rough on people who didn't live up to what he expected in business-wise.
Eminently fair, though, wasn't he?
Very fair. But there's very one interesting thing. I was privileged to go into his files, and David McKay, the executive of the estate, gave me complete freedom to go through there and, in fact, let me use some stuff, which is not always complimentary to Glenn. There was, for example, I noticed in there, and he let me use it, a receipt from the Bach Instrument Company, which they had sent him a trombone for $150 plus $3.86 postage. And Glenn figured it was not fair that he had to pay the postage. So he said, tell them, unless they absorb the postage, we will not accept it.
Wow.
Yeah, so the $3.86 he insisted that they pay for because he felt that they should pay for it, that he shouldn't be charged for that.
Would the big band business be different today had Glenn Miller survived World War II?
I think so, yes. I think Glenn probably would have been doing what Lawrence Welk is now doing. And except I think he would have counted off in English. And I think, by the way, I've got to give Welk an awful lot of credit for what he's done. He's done it so well. And when you think of what his band used to be like, he has made such tremendous strides musically because he used to have a pretty miserable Mickey Mouse band.
He has some great musicians in
that
orchestra.
Now he's got some good musicians, and Welk is broadening and trying, and even though we may not always like what he's doing, and it's so very obvious musically what he's doing most of the time, the musicianship in the band is excellent. And I think that Glenn would have just taken it two or three steps beyond that. And he is such a good businessman that I'm sure he would have tied himself up with somebody and gotten a really good television series with probably a lot of artists springing out of the series, and he would have had a whole stable of people.
What about this particular recording? Now, of all the Glenn Miller records that I've listened to over the years, you know, there's the Modern Airs and there's Everly and so on, and you picked one with a vocal by one Kathleen Lane.
This was, I think, easily the best girl singer, the best singer Glenn ever had. This was a gal, a very attractive gal. This is the first band, the one that broke up, by the way. Very attractive gal who sang with tremendous musical feeling. She made a record, sometime you ought to play it, with Bunny Berrigan, that is unbelievably great. I'm trying to think of the tune. I'll think of it before the program's over and let you know. And she also recorded for Charlie Barnett, so she recorded with good musicians. And I Cried for You was the one she did for Bunny Berrigan. It's on the Bunny Berrigan collection if you have it.
Mm-hmm.
And she is an unbelievably good singer. And this was the session in which Glenn just about decided he'd had it with the band because he had a band that had quite a few boozers who didn't read too well when they were under the influence. And he was having an awful lot of trouble. And I remember after the session he told me he was just about ready to chuck up the whole thing. And shortly thereafter he did. But Kitty Lane was just an unbelievably good singer. I'm overselling her, I realize. Maybe you won't like her as much as I do, but she reminds me very much of Mildred Bailey and has a very vibrant quality, and she sings so much in tune, which is also good.
Sweet to you, sweet stranger.
You're listening to A One-Night Stand with the Big Bands. This is your host, Arnold Dean. You are tuned to 1080 Radio. This is WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut. And tonight's program is being brought to you by the Electronic Jungle, where you get the best for less and service, too. And by Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. Right now at Russo Chevrolet in Windsor Locks, you can save on high-style, low-mileage used cars and an exciting selection of Chevy models. For instance, Russo offers a great buy on 1973 Impalas with factory air conditioning, radio, white wall tires, vinyl roof, power steering, and brakes in either two or four-door models. The Impala comes with an extended warranty, and it can be yours for as low as $2,595. Russo is also featuring over 100 low-mileage 73 Chevelles, Camaros, Novas, and Monte Carlos, some with air conditioning, many at the same low price. Pick your car now from the first-class selection of 73 used Chevys at Russo Chevrolet.
Go first class with Russo. Russo Chevrolet.
Russo is just minutes from Hartford. Take the Bradley exit off I-91, then your first exit to Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. Well, George, we go from Glenn Miller featuring Kitty Lane to Red McKenzie. Wow, there's a few years difference in the recording dates, isn't there?
Well, this, no, not so much. So this Red McKenzie thing was recorded, I would say, about a year before the Kitty Lane thing.
Just a year before?
Yeah, I think it was probably a 1937 recording. The Kitty Lane thing with Glenn was 38. This was when Red McKenzie, who was my idea, was just a fabulous singer, wonderful voice box, a deep resonant sound with good jazz feeling. He was working on 52nd Street at this time with the Spirits of Rhythm. And this is one of the sides they made. Red was a guy who sang with Paul Whiteman. The first time I ever heard him was with Roger Wolf Kahn's band. But he's also the fellow who organized the Mound City Blue Blowers, which is such a great all-star group, and which was probably the first group, one of the very first groups that had a mixed instrumental group. He got Coleman Hawkins, the great black tenor sax, to play on a date which had Glenn Miller, by the way, on trombone, Pee Wee Russell on clarinet, and Gene Krupa on drums. McKenzie was an ex-jockey, real jockey, not a disc jockey, a horse jockey, out of St. Louis, and a very warm, sentimental guy who loved to hang around musicians. And musicians loved him, and he's always putting together recording dates. And of course, on this thing, we have the Six Spirits of Rhythm, which is a wonderfully swinging group of guitars and tipples, which are sort of like a ukulele, and a guy playing a suitcase and another guy playing a string bass. And Leo Watson is also on this record. Leo Watson is one man I once described as the only guy I've ever heard who sings in shorthand. And you see what I, he doesn't, he was an original scat singer. He was one of the first scat singers, sang no words at all, made up the words as he went along. And he and Red both sing on this record, and they sort of counterbalance each other because Red is warm and straight, and Leo is sort of kooky all the way through. Somewhat like the Jack Teagarden and Fats Waller combination we heard earlier in the show.
That's an old Decca with Red McKenzie and the Spirits of Rhythm called Way Down Yonder in New Orleans.
New Orleans,
New Orleans,
New Orleans,
New Orleans, way down yonder in New Orleans,
way down yonder in New Orleans, in the land of dreamy dreams, there's a Garden of Eden, that's what I mean, Creole babies with flashing eyes, softly whisper with tender sighs, stop, or won't you give your lady fair a little smile, and stop. You bet your life you linger there a little while. There is heaven right here on earth with those beautiful queens way down yonder in New Orleans.
Red McKenzie and the Spirits of Rhythm and Way Down Yonder in New Orleans. Are you a student looking for a portable cassette recorder to help you in your studies? Are you a salesman who wants to keep an accurate record of your client's needs? Maybe you're a married couple who's had their first child and want to capture his first words on tape to remember for many years to come. Well, if you're one of these people, or if you have any other need for a portable cassette recorder, then the Electronic Jungle has just the cassette player for you. It's the new SuperScope Model C103 Portable Cassette Recorder. The C103 has a built-in, super-sensitive condenser microphone, digital counter, automatic shutoff, auxiliary input, separate volume and tone controls, its own carrying case, and it operates on AC and batteries, and the batteries recharge. All this, and at a price your budget can afford. Stop in at one of the Electronic Jungle's 7 locations and see the SuperScope C103 for yourself. The Electronic Jungle, where every customer is very special. George T., whenever we think of the big band era and talk with others about it, Bob Chester is probably not the first name of a band leader that they'd come up with.
No. He was, I guess, notorious for the fact that he imitated Glenn, and that happened when Glenn was managed by a guy named Arthur Michaud. Actually, he was being backed by Tommy Dorsey. And Tommy was loaning him money. And then Glenn tied up with a man, wonderful man named Cy Shribman up in Boston, who had a lot of ballrooms, and who took over all of Glenn's debts and gave the band regular employment at the ballrooms, backed the band, and was the one man solely responsible, really, for Glenn surviving. And when Glenn signed up with Shribman, it meant, of course, that Tommy, who thought he, I guess, thought he had a piece of the band because he was loaning Glenn, was out in the cold, and Tommy was furious. And he got through Michaud, his manager, and through Bob Chester, they built a band that was supposed to rival Glenn's. Bob was a very nice, warm gent from Detroit, Michigan, the son of the woman who had the Fisher Body Company. He had tremendous money on his own and really didn't have to worry. And they built a band around the lead clarinet style. Now, the band itself was adequate, but they had in the band, I think, if I had to go down now, the gal, one gal singer among all band singers who affected me more than any other band singer was a gal in this band named Dolores O'Neill. And there are certain people who've heard her. There's a Dolores O'Neill cult now who just swear by this gal. A fellow named, you've heard of Irving Townsend, who was the big man of Columbia Records for many years. I was talking to him just about a year ago. He's out on the coast, and he said, I was talking about singers. He said, well, you know, the best of them all was Dolores O'Neill. Talk to John Listener, the fellow who writes for the New York Times. He wants to get every Dolores O'Neill record that ever came out. Dolores was a gal who was not a great singer technically. She couldn't hold on to notes very much. She never studied. But she had such immense feeling. She was a tall gal, very, very pretty. We used to do a very cute thing. She'd put the mic above her rather than below her. So she'd look up when she sang, and it looked as though she were looking up at the guy She was, you know, it gave you a feeling that she was looking up at you. And she had a very ethereal quality. She always reminded me of a gal at a high school dance who had gone outside and come back with a little, and had been misty outside. She had, still had a little mist on her eyes. She had a very misty quality. She lives not too far away from Hartford. She lives in Wingdale, New York. She's the mother of five children, all of them grown up by now. She's writing for the, has been writing for the local paper. She still does the occasional singing. And she has a daughter named Alexa, who's exquisite singer. Dodie married Alec Filer, the lead truffle player in this band, who was also in Benny Goodman's band and Glenn Miller's band, Les Brown's band, a terrific truffle player. And they built up quite a family with great musical talent.
Well, you piqued my curiosity. Let's listen to Bob Chester's orchestra and Dolores O'Neill, and the song is Don't Let It Get You Down. Now, as we continue our conversation with George T. Simon, the next record we're going to play from George's collection is by Harry James and his orchestra, and this time a big band vocalist named Dick Hames, who made quite a name for himself.
He sure did. You know, the first time I ever heard Dick was very funny. It was at a studio where Harry's band was rehearsing. Frank Sinatra had just left. And there was a music publisher wanted Harry to record and play some of the tunes that he had. And at rehearsal, he brought up the tunes, and he brought up this young singer to sing the tunes. When it was all over, Harry said, I'm not sure how much I like the tunes, but this singer knocks me out. And this was Dick Hames, a at that time a very nervous young guy. Every time I remember he sang a voice started to sing a song, he'd take a handkerchief out of his breast pocket and cough into it a couple of times and clear his throat, and then he'd stride up there very self-consciously, but always sang so wonderfully. And of course, he became a great singer later on, a very popular singer. Then, as you know, he left the country, went to Europe, but he's back now. Dick is singing so great these days.
He had a lot of personality on the stand, I think.
Yeah, very, very bright guy. He was more interested after a while in producing films than he was in singing, and he lost a bundle doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's back, he's married again. He was married to Rita Hayworth, as
yes.
you remember, and also to Joanne Drew. He's married to a wonderful gal he met overseas. They have a family. They're living out in Malibu on the coast, and he's very happy. I've never seen Dick in such good shape as he is these days. Extremely happy, and has a lot of serenity. He's taking very good care of himself in every way, and it's just great to see a man who you thought was on the skids for a while come back and really blossom again.
What year was this recording made, George?
You've Changed must have been around, I'd say 1940, I believe it was.
In your eye is gone. Your smile is just a careless yawn. You're breaking my heart, you've changed. You've changed, your kisses now are so blasé. You're bored with life in every way. I can't understand you've changed. It's not true when you say I love you. I've seen my dreams come and go. Now when you say the word I love you, it's just out of habit, I know. You've changed, why do you act the way you do? Are you just telling me we're through? Though I still love you, you've changed. It's all over now, it's all wrong, somehow you've changed.
Join in the Spirit of America sale all this month at Russo Chevrolet in Windsor Locks. See the special edition Spirit of America Impalas, Bel Airs, Chevelles, and Monte Carlos on display now. If you have a family or do a lot of driving, you want a car you can depend on, a car that's comfortable, roomy, and styled for safety. That's what you'll find at Russo.
See them this month for savings on the great American value, the beautiful Impala, or the Bel Air, the lowest-priced way to enjoy Chevy's full-sized quality. Then there's the Monte Carlo, the car with elegance built in, not added on. Or the 74 Chevelle, the mid-sized Chevrolet that offers full-sized comfort and safety. At Russo, this month, you'll not only save on the price tag, but if you mention WTIC, you'll get a free AM-FM radio, installation included. Now that's the spirit of America, all this month at Russo Chevrolet. Just take the Bradley exit off I-91, then your first exit to Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. Now continuing our conversation with George T. Simon. And George, here's a guy about whom they never say whatever happened to the big bands. Les Brown is probably as busy a man as you'll find anywhere.
Yeah, he's very busy. And also, like Dick Haymes, very happy. I've been privileged to have spent quite a lot of time with Les and his wife, Claire, out on the West Coast. We were very good friends. We became especially good friends right around this area when the band, many years ago, was working over in Armonk at a place called the Rustic Cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And Les and Clooney, or Claire, his wife, and their two kids, very young kids at that time, had a house over there. And Peter Dean and I, Peter and I were very close friends, used to come up and visit them a lot. We'd play, have baseball games, and and the band was a very, very happy family. I used to call it the Ice Cream Soda Band or the Malted Milk Band, because I don't think any of the guys drank. It was just a very clean-living bunch of Boy Scouts over there. And they played at the Rusty Cabin at that time. It was before this girl singer had joined the band. They had a gal named Betty Bonney in the band, who... You remember her record of Jolt and Joe DiMaggio, I think.
Oh, yeah,
that's
sure.
That's at the time that came out. And shortly thereafter, Les took on this girl singer who had been singing with Bob Crosby's band, but had left the band because one of the guys was too ardent in pursuing her, and she got frightened and went home to mother. And then later on, Les discovered her, and of course... This being the Ice Cream Soda or Malted Milk type band, why it was perfect for this young, pure little gal to come along and sing. And Les and his wife took awfully good care of her, and she used to be with them a lot of the time, and they sort of protected her. And that's when Doris Day really started coming into her own.
Now let's listen to this one with Doris Day. We'll be together again, Les Brown in the orchestra.
Again, time.
Now, George, when we talk about big bands, we have to include Duke Ellington's orchestra.
Of course.
And when we talk about Duke Ellington and vocalists, we have to talk about Ivy Anderson.
Yeah. See, this was a very underrated gal. People don't realize how much Ivy meant to that band. She fit right in with the same sort of musicianship that the musicians had. She had a very assertive, here I am, take me for what I am quality. And, of course, she had a tremendous beat. And she had great musical feeling. And what else do you need for a band like Ellington except that? There are other singers that Ellington has had who may have been more sentimental, who may have been more flowery. But she was so direct and so straight and fit the band just so perfectly. And the quality of her voice was so wonderful. It's a very, it's an instrumental quality almost in her voice as you listen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very exciting thing. And we were talking earlier about humor. This record I've selected of hers has got a lot of humor. It's got real uptown humor as you listen to the way she talks and sings on the thing. This was, must have been done, I think, as I recall, in the early 40s. And Ivy was an integral part of the band. She was the only person who ever sang with a band for any real length of time. Herb Jeffries sang with it for a while, and some of the other men singers sang for a while, Al Hibbler. But Ivy was really, if you had to talk about the Ellington singer, it would be Ivy Anderson.
This is the one. Let's listen to I'm Checking Out, Boom Bye.
But I was too slick. I'm in the know, you've got to go. The cake is all dough. It's too bad our bliss had to miss out like this. I'm checking out, goodbye. But I was too slick. I'm in the know, you've got to go. The cake is all dough. It's too bad I had to miss out like this. I'm cutting out, old man. I don't dig you.
Ivy Anderson with Duke Ellington's orchestra and a great recording of I'm Checking Out, Goombye. Sony, the name that has always meant quality in tape recorders, invites you to see their quality tape equipment at the Electronic Jungle, with 7 stores to serve you in the Connecticut area. The Electronic Jungle's friendly, courteous staff are waiting to demonstrate this fine Sony equipment to you. They have an inexpensive Sony stereo deck like the TC-280, or an auto-reverse deck like the TC-458, Or maybe you want a Sony recorder with an amplifier and two extension speakers like the Sony TC-270 or TC-353. All of these are impressive-looking units with the famous Sony built-in quality. Why not stop and find the right recorder to meet your needs? The Electronic Jungle has stores in Waterbury, Avon, West Hartford, East Hartford, Rocky Hill, and two locations in Manchester. And at the Electronic Jungle, every customer is very special. George, the time goes so quickly, and we've just scratched the surface of this subject of big band vocalists.
And there's some scratchy surfaces on those records, too, weren't there? Yeah, those are some oldies, but they were fun digging them out. And of course, it's always wonderful digging out records and playing them with you, Arnold, because you've got such a great appreciation, you and Brian.
I enjoy them.
And Bob over here.
Yeah,
it's great having guys who know what it's all about.
Well, it's a pleasure to listen to them, and we cannot let this go. We're going to set this idea aside, and within a few months or perhaps a year from now, we're going to take part two of this series and talk about more of the big band vocalists, because I want to hear more about them.
Great. I'd love that.
In the meantime, I hope we'll be talking with you a little bit sooner than that. As soon as your new book comes out, Glenn Miller and His Orchestra.
Right, yeah.
We've been looking forward to reading this for a long time, and you predict it'll be out when?
We should have copies the end of April or beginning of May.
Well, shortly after that, as soon as I've read through a copy, I'm sure I'm going to have some questions, and we'll sit down and go over them and play a few Glenn Miller records on the show.
That'd be a ball.
Thank you, George. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Arnold, too.
So many more great bands, all of them, it seems, featuring unforgettable vocalists. But that's all the time we have for tonight. Our special thanks to a very special guest, George T. Simon. Our location and studio engineer was Bob Schirrego. This program was edited and produced by Brian Hartnett. We'll see you with the March One Night Stand on Wednesday evening, March 6th, 9:05 till 10 on WTIC Radio. This is Arnold Dane. A one-night stand with the big bands has been brought to you by the Electronic Jungle, where every customer is very special, and by Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks, where low-mileage 73 used Chevrolets are featured at great savings.